Information, please. Presented each week at this time by Canada Dry, famous the world over for its fine beverages. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts. With information, please. The man bites the dog. The dust bites the Indian. And the public gets its revenge on the authorities. In other words, you do the quizzing and we'll do the answering. Now listen carefully because we will not repeat this announcement during this broadcast. You send us questions on any subjects with the correct answers. You may submit from 1 to 3 original questions per letter. If your question is used, you receive $5 and $10 additional if it stumps the board. So you may win $15 in all. Don't get bothered if our editorial staff changes or edits your question slightly. All questions become the property of Information Please. Letters with questions are to be addressed to Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York City. And now here's our master of ceremonies, Mr. Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Fadiman.
Thank you, Mr. Cross. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, please, that Information Please is unrehearsed, unpredictable, uncabined, uncribbed, and unconfined. Shakespeare, Mr. Kieran. Now, none of these questions has been seen in advance by any of our 4 experts, who today include our pair of question-beaten but still smiling veterans, Franklin P. Adams, columnist of the New York Post, and the unbeatable John Kirk. Our 3rd expert has appeared frequently on these programs before, and we're glad to welcome him back, Oscar Levant, pianist and composer. I'm going to interrupt this program for just a minute, and I'm going to ask my other 3 guests to join with me in saluting Oscar on his something or other birthday. These things always come around. 1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Oscar. Happy birthday to you.
I'm very glad to report that has left Mr. Levant speechless.
It's not my birthday.
Didn't you know it was your birthday?
It is, but it's only alleged.
Oh, it's a myth.
Yeah. I never was born.
Our guest of honor this evening, our 4th guest, is one whose name is known and toasted wherever Yale men gather, and even where a lot of Yale men don't gather. I refer to the beloved teacher, lecturer, writer, and general literary authority, Professor William Lyon Phelps, better known as Billy Phelps. Now, Mr. Phelps, the only rule you have to remember this evening is that I am doing the teaching and not you. Is that clear? You and your colleagues will raise your hands if you know the answer. And if you miss an answer, Canada Dry rings up $10 on the cash register. And that $10 goes out to the lucky question. Now, are you all ready? The first question comes from Mr. Charles Sherman of Los Angeles. We're going to play, one after the other, 5 songs. Each of these songs refers to some kind of beverage. And you are to name the beverage in each case. Now, Mr. Adams, if you want to lift that liquid voice of yours in song, go ahead. We furnish no protection. Let's have the first one. You have to name the song and the beverage involved. Mr. LeBan.
Let's have another pizza pie. Let's have another cup of coffee.
Yes.
Let's have a cup of coffee.
Coffee is the beverage. Pie, the edible. Number 2. Mr. Adams.
Brown October Ale.
Brown October Ale. And the beverage involved?
Ale.
Very good. Very good. Right on your toes. The 3rd. Miss Adams?
The beverage is beer. Yes. Wurzburger.
Now with like Wurzburger flows. Word beer, Miss Adams. I'd like to hear you say it. Down with the Wurzburger flows. Number 4.
Isn't it?
Yep.
I think it's from Stevenson.
It is. 15 men on a dead man's chest.
Rum.
Yep. Rum is the answer.
But not Stevenson.
Was it from Treasure Island?
Yes. Written by young E. Allison.
Is that right? Yeah,
but it's the belletor, but it's in Stevenson's Treasure Island.
Correct.
Recorded in Stevenson.
Yes, that's enough for us. That's enough. No, no worries. Mr. Adams is such a precision. Number 5. You may not have heard of this liquor. Mr. Kieran.
Old-fashioned well water from the old oaken bucket.
Yes, the old oaken bucket. Let's have one off the record, perhaps. Top 5. Now, if you don't name this one, we're all fired by order of the sponsors. Mr. Levan.
It's obviously an under pressure can of dry.
Correct. An under pressure is. Well, all right, that's 5 out of 6. Or rather, 6 out of 6.
The next question from Helen Riley of Chicago. Miss Riley wants you to give 4 common phrases that mention things a pharmacist makes. You know what the drugstore is. It's that little part of the store behind the fountain.
Yes.
Now, for example, salve your conscience would be one. Salve your conscience. Is that the one you were going to mention?
No, I'm scared.
Let's have another one, Jerry.
You're just an old pill.
Oh, thank you very much. Very sweet of you. That's one. Mr. Levant?
Take a powder.
Take a powder. Meaning what?
To get out of town. Practically.
Yes, right. That's right. That's two.
Exit.
Exit's right. Let's have another. We have to have 2 more.
What's the one with Winchell?
You can't ask me. I'm asking you this evening, Mr. Levant.
Lotions. Lotions of love. That's a little
sentimental. Oh, come on. Lotions of love.
Did you really say that?
It's a little loud on my program.
My birthday in Winchell, you know.
Even if it is your birthday.
Well, how dry I am.
By.
Lotions of love.
You're going to stick to lotions?
No.
It may be your birthday, but I'm not going to let lotions get by. Miss Curie.
That's the old oil.
Yes, that's the old oil. They do make up oil of peppermint.
Sure.
Oil of wintergreen.
Acid's kind of general, isn't it? Acid.
Acid?
Acidulous.
They don't actually make acids in pharmacy, I don't believe.
When the thing is done surreptitiously, would that be all right?
Oh, come, Dr. Fell. Right at the beginning of the program, too. That's all right after you've made a friend of me, but not at the very beginning of the program.
A drug on the market.
What was that one?
A drug on the market.
A drug on the market. That's very good indeed. To be plastered is another. Or one, probably the most famous of all the productions of the drugstore. How about a date for Sunday? I mean, they make more Sundays, in fact, they don't
I like lotions of love better than that.
All right, you stick to it. You stick to it. The belligerent Mr. Levant. Your birthday's going to your head. Third question from William Jeffries in New Orleans, Louisiana. Now, this is a tough one. Please look alert. Look alert, Mr. Cherry. Suppose the Dionne quintuplets decided to hold a family reunion on the last day of the 20th century. On what day and year would they get together? Now, I just put the Dionne quintuplets in to make it harder, you understand. That I could make that the present Yale class, Dr. Phelps. If,
well, that would be December 31st of the year 2000.
That is absolutely correct. Was that just a guess, Dr. Phelps?
No, I knew that.
You wouldn't like to...
You
didn't know that. That's quite correct. Would you like to explain that to us?
Yes, I would. You see, a great many people think that the next century will begin January 1st, 2000. And it is very exciting. When I saw Mr. Franklin T. Adams' 2 sons tonight, looking very brilliant, intelligent, I knew that someday they will write on a letter, January 1st, 2000. Not only changing the last part of the date, but the first ones, the first 1,000 years. But that is not the date of the new century. That's the last year of the old century, simply because, dating from the birth of Christ, you don't have any naught year. The birth is the year 1, you see. And you date from
that.
Therefore, January 1st.
That's perfectly correct and very ingenious. Did you know that, Mr. Kerr?
Yes, but I'd like to hear him go over it again.
I haven't got the time. It is nice. But I like to listen to Dr. Phelps go over that, too.
Even my repetitions are good.
Well, hopefully you'll all be here together at that date, Dr. Phelps. Oh, the greatly surprised that we are. The next question from Joel Seidman in New York City. This is more or less of a literary question, but you can get on if you wish, Mr. Levant. We'll let you in on it. Doesn't matter. What imaginary character would you expect to meet if you strolled along the following 5 streets? I'm going to ask you to get 5 out of 5 on this. 1, the Rue Morgue. Rue, R-U-E, French for street. Morgue, M-O-R-G-U-E. Whom would you meet? Mr. Kidd.
Edgar Allan Poe.
What imaginary
Monsieur Dupin.
Monsieur Dupin from what tale?
Murders in the Rue Morgue.
Murders in the Rue Morgue.
You mean any dead one would that do?
I beg pardon?
Would any dead person do? On this morgue street?
Reasonably dead.
Well, Dead Ned by John Masefield.
I don't know that. Very good. That's a new one on me. Thank you, Dr. Phelps. You might also meet from the same story that you mentioned, Mr. Kieran, the orangutan. One of the characters in the Murders in the Rue Morgue, the one who committed the murders. Isn't that right?
It's not a breakfast fruit. It's an animal.
Yes.
Just coming out.
All right. That was easy. Now, the second one is very difficult. What imaginary character from fiction would you meet if you strolled along the Elysium Road in Simla, S-I-M-L-A, India. That's a tough one, Mr. Sheridan.
Isn't that the Phantom Rickshaw story?
Yes.
As there's a woman.
Yeah.
In the rickshaw.
That's right. The ghost.
Yes.
Yes. The ghost of Mrs. Agnes Keith Wessington. I wouldn't blame you for not remembering her name. That's pretty good, Mr.
Sheridan. Sure, I correct you.
Now, if you strolled along Catfish Row, whom would you meet? Mr. Levant.
Porgy.
Yes. From what place?
Jubal's Hayward and Mrs. Hayward. They rode Porgy.
That's quite correct. That's 3 out of 3. Now, suppose you strolled along the Dover Road. The Dover Road.
That's Dickens.
Mr. Levant?
The Scarlet Pimpernel?
Don't think so. I'm not sure.
David Copperfield.
No, I'm sorry. That would be... You have to count that wrong.
Now, Dover Road was correct. In New York.
I like Porgy. Mr. Kieran?
A.A. Mill?
A.A. Milne, the role played at Dover Road. Yes, Mr. Latimer, I think, is the name of the character in it. Or Mr. Lorry.
Yes, in Tale of Two Cities.
But it was answered wrongly at the beginning. The Sidewalks of New York. Remember that Al Smith is not an imaginary character, gentlemen. Can't give me that. Mr. Adams.
Me.
And who else?
And Mamie O'Rourke.
Very good, Mr. Adams. Well, that's 4 out of 5. That's going to cost us $10 going out to Mr. Sidon in New York City. The next question from Spencer Brown, from the University of Minnesota. This is a question involving sports. It's divided into 3 parts. First part, what game is frequently played by opponents 3,000 miles, more or less apart, while playing?
Chess.
Chess, Dr. Phelps, is quite correct. And not the recent duel between Mr. Hitler and Mr. Ickes, for example. 2, in what sport does the team having the lowest point score win? Mr. Kieran.
Golf.
Cross-country running.
Golf, I believe, is wrong, Mr. Kieran. And Dr. Phelps, I believe cross-country racing is correct.
Excuse me, golf is also correct.
If the teams are playing?
Yes, certainly.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, don't they play for matches when teams play golf?
Oh, my dear. Have you ever been on a golf course?
No. Well, I'm asking for information.
Well, it depends on whether they play metal play or match play.
Would you like to solve this for us, Dr. Phelps?
If medal play, it's always the lowest score of the individual or the 5 or 6 counted up together. But well, match play doesn't count.
It doesn't. If you were in my seat, then, would you allow Mr. Kieran's answer to go by?
Well, I hate to go back on John, because he's a dear friend of mine, but I'd turn him down on that one.
You turn him down.
How do you... just a minute. May I ask Dr. Phelps a question?
By all means.
How is the Intercollegiate Team Golf Championship decided?
The Intercollegiate Golf Championship is medal play, you see. That's what I think.
You didn't mention anything about medal play.
No, I didn't even mention the word medal play.
Mr. Kieran's right.
You say that, Mr. Paul. Well, you're just distributing gifts on your birthday, Mr. Levant.
It's getting late.
The student of mine at Yale, when he said, I don't know, we gave him 0. But when he answered wrong, we gave him minus. So he came up to me and he said, gosh, Prof, he said, I'll work hard to see if I can get my stand up to 0 by the end of the term.
Well, you watch the
No, I'm below 0 on that one.
Well, unless we get over 1,000 stone phone calls in the next 2 minutes, I'm going to allow Mr. Kieran to get by on that one. In what sport must the winning team move backwards in order to win? This is the third and last part of this question.
Back swimming backwards. Backstroke.
Back swimming?
Backstroke.
In what sport must the winning team?
I have 2 people swim backstroke.
Yeah.
3 people.
Well, whenever, how would this be?
Dr. Phelps.
When somebody seizes a comeback, not expected.
That's a pretty idea, but I don't think I can let that one go. I'm sorry, we're wrong on that. The only possible answer I'm informed by properly recognized authorities Mr. Kieran no doubt will not recognize, is tug of war. Tug of war. Would that be right, Mr. Kieran?
Yes, sir.
And you would call that a sport, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we got one wrong. Out of that, and that's going to cost Canada Dry $10, going out to Mr. Brown at the University of Minnesota. Now, the next question is a musical question. It comes from Mrs. R. Lawrence of Toronto, Canada. And I'm going to ask you to get 3 out of 4. I'm going to ask any one of you who can to play the theme that gives a musical description of each of the following. Now, I know that... Could you play the piano, Dr. Phelps?
No, I'm sorry.
Well, just
the only thing I play is the typewriter.
We haven't got one here. All right, Mr. Levant, do you think you can try it? The first is The Adventurous Scamp from Strauss's Till Eulenspiegel.
Till Eulenspiegel?
Yes.
There were 2 themes, I think.
Just take one.
How about that?
It doesn't have to be exact harmony. It's a theme.
Well, it's not the harmony.
It's
the adventurous scamp.
The adventurous scamp. The adventurous scamp. Maybe you don't know what I mean by the adventurous scamp. Oh, that sounds very much more like scamping.
Well, you only asked for the harmony you want.
Let it go. All right. Very good. Now, will you let us have the bewitched broomstick in The Sorcerer's Apprentice from Ducasse?
Well,
how about that one? That's why I recognize that one myself. All right. That's two out of two. Now, Mr. Levant, will you please give us, at a discount, The Cry of the Warrior Maidens from The Ride of the Valkyries by Wagner.
You want the cry, not the ride.
I want the cry itself. Nothing else will do.
Toyo, toyo.
Sounds terrible. Did Wagner write that?
Wagner wrote it.
Wagner wrote it. Yeah. He must be turning over his grave. Now let me have the love. I hate to ask you for this, but give me the love of Romeo and Juliet from Tchaikovsky.
You mean the love potion, lotion, see?
Potion, not the lotion, Mr. LeBron. Very good. Thank you very much. I hope Mrs. Lawrence is satisfied.
Thank you, Mr. Lawrence.
So far, Canada Dry announces a loss of $20. And now, as is our custom, we'll hear from Mr. Cross, our expert on Canada Dry.
Thank you, Mr. Fadiman. Tonight, as is your custom, I'm going to give you a quotation from Shakespeare. The yearly cost that brings this day about shall never see it but a holiday.
That's from King John. And I don't mean Puritan, Mr. Cross.
That's right, Mr. Fadiman. And a very handy quotation it is, too, because I'd like to speak about the close kinship between these yearly holidays and Canada Dry ginger ale and sparkling Canada Dry water. For this is the season of celebration, when laughter and gaiety are perfectly matched with Canada Dry, the champagne of ginger ales, and Canada Dry water, the club soda with millions of smaller bubbles for champagne sparkle. No matter which your friends prefer, they deserve the best. That's why Canada Dry beverages should always have a place in your home. Your guests will also enjoy playing Information Please, the sparkling new game that comes as a 1939 blessing to party givers. You can play Information Please in your own home, just as we do here in the studio. And I'm sure you can visualize the extreme pleasure of stumping that friend or relative who has always known everything about everything. Canada Dry will supply you with the Information Please game. And later in the program, we'll tell you just how to go about getting your copy.
Thanks, Mr. Cross. Your time was exactly 64 seconds running forward. Now, beginning the second part of the program. Oh, we have a question here from Dr. Phelps' own university. That's Yale University, Dr. Phelps, in case you've forgotten. And the question comes in the form of a little letter addressed to me. I'm going to read the letter. Dear Mr. Fadiman, here's a question with which I hope to stump my meal ticket. I have warned him for some time that I would catch him. And if by any chance you accept this question, I think that now is the time. Signed, John Francis Kieran, Jr. Now, Mr. Kieran, I think I'm going to direct this entire question at you, and you'll only be helped out by the others in case of extreme pressure. Now, if you want to duck out of this thing and disown your son right now, here's your chance. You
can make one remark.
Yes, Mr.
From Shakespeare. How sharper than a thankless tooth it is to have a serpent child.
I hope young Karen is listening to his learned father. Very well.
Well, now, excuse me just a minute. I thought another one. The boy cut my class one day, and he was the best boy I had in Shakespeare, and so I simply thought, this is the most unkindest cut of all. Never mind, it wasn't very good, but still.
Oh, that's all right. That's quite all right. It's a very good naked program that we have.
You don't have to be very good.
Miss Adams knows. Now, Mr. Curie, the following are the second stanzas of well-known poems. There are three altogether. I'm going to ask you to recite the first line of each poem. Here's the second stanza of the first poem. Is she kind as she is fair? For beauty lives with kindness. Love doth to her eyes repair. to help him of his blindness, and being helped, inhabits there.
Never heard it in my life.
Oh, Junior, aren't you happy, Junior? Aren't you happy? Dr. Phelps, do you know the first line of the poem of which left the second stanza?
Sounds like Annabelle Lee. Is she sweet? Is she fair?
No, Mr. Man. I know you know Annabelle Lee. That's the other poem you know. No, that's not correct.
Anything to do with Helen?
Mr. Adams, no.
I give up.
No, it isn't Helen. It's Sylvia. Who is Sylvia?
Well, that's what I said.
That all our Swain's commander. That's right. Did you say that?
Yes, I said, who is Sylvia?
Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. Did he say that?
Yes, he did.
On your honor. We all work on the honor system here this evening.
Used to be a famous opera singer here. When she sang it, they said she sang it as though Sylvia were not on her calling list.
Well, the things you know, Dr.
Who is Sylvia?
The things you know. Now, the second one. Do you want to come back into this program, Mr. Curran, or do you want to drop
us? Stay by me, John.
All right. Here's the second stanza. The bridegroom's doors are opened wide, and I am next of kin. Put your hand down, Mr. Adams. The guests are met, the feast is set. Mayst hear the merry din. If you don't know that, Mr. Kerr, Mr. Kerr.
That's the rhyme of the ancient
Let's have the first line of the poem.
It is an ancient
Never mind, man. Boys. Give Mr. Kerr a crack.
Too bad, John.
There's an ancient mariner who stoppeth one of three.
Oh, it is an ancient mariner. Your tense is wrong.
And he
I'm very tense. One of three.
Yes, it's got a subject, too. All right, that's two out of two.
Like a baseball
Dr. Phelps. Now let's see if we get the third and last one, Karen. Now fades the glimmering landscape on the... Oh, you know that.
All
right, Karen. Let's have the first line of the famous poem which set the second stanza.
The third...
Never mind, Dr. Phelps. These teachers... You cannot keep these teachers quiet.
The curfew slowly...
Leave out your adverb.
Curfew!
Take your adverb out. Well, I think we've got them thoroughly mixed up.
Curfew tolls the knell of parting day. The lowing herd winds slowly o'er the lee.
That's right.
The plowman homeward, etc.
Yes. Who was it from, Karen?
That's from Gray. Thomas Gray, written in the Stoke Poges Cemetery.
Yes, and I should like to be present at the next meeting between Mr. Karen and Mr. Karen Jr. That's 3 out of 3 with the help of Dr. Bell. Now, what can you do with this one? Coming all the way from Phoenix, Arizona, from Mr. J. Wallace Edgar. What sort of dog is brought to mind by each of the following? For example, if I said to you, a breakfast cereal, you would all reply, what?
Husky.
Ah, that's very good, Mr. Chairman. Now, if I said to you, a dinner bell, what would you reply? What kind of dog? Mr. Levant.
Those brown dogs.
Chow, yes. Or perhaps hot dog. If I said to you, a cop. Police dog is not acceptable. Dr. Phelps?
I was going to say police dog.
No, acceptable.
Bulldog, bull.
Yes, bull would be right.
Why not a bulldog?
Well, bull is the species, I guess.
All right.
Three, the Irish Rebellion of 1916. Mr. Adams.
Irish Setter.
Irish Setter, Irish Terrier. Better still.
Bulldog.
We had bulldog, Mr. Lamont. We had
Black and tan.
Yes, black and tan.
Good.
That's right. That was good, wasn't it?
Yes, so, very good.
He's awfully clever. Four, Hamlet.
No, the mere truth would flatter you, boy.
Hamlet. Miss Kieran.
A Great Dane.
Great Dane, very good. And five and last, chewing tobacco. Miss Adams. I thought you knew. What was that, a mechanical arm that you put up there? Mr. Levant.
Spitz.
Spitz is right, yes. I think that's pretty good. Very bright on your birthday, Mr. Levant. May I compliment?
I know a fellow who used to work named Leo Spitz. RKO.
That explains everything.
About dogs.
Well, here's what you do with this one, then. This one comes from Jack Klein of this city. In what movies were the following old-time songs revived? There are three, and you have to get 3 out of 3. One, Polly Wally Doo. In what movie?
You can't take it with you.
You can't take it with you, that's right. The second, Man on the Flying Trapeze.
It wasn't Rudy Valley, was it?
No. You're telling me, Mr. Levant.
With Claude Gable. You remember? Walter Jericho. It happened one night.
That's right. He gets around to it after a while. And the three, a bicycle built for two. Very recent motion picture. Mr. Adams, because you haven't seen any recent motion picture.
No movies, whatever.
Deanna Durbin.
Yes, what's the name of the picture?
Melvin Douglas, Deanna Durbin. That's Certain
what
Age.
What do you want to do? Give us all the credit?
Certain Age?
Yes, that's Certain Age. That's right. 3 out of 3. Very good.
Well, I
Now, let's see what you can do with this. This is a limerick completing contest. Mr. W. T. Fitzsimmons of Woonsocket, Rhode Island, sends us three limericks. And you're asked to complete them. I'm going to give you four lines. You give me the fifth. There is one classic line, which is an absolutely correct one, but I will accept anything that is reasonably good and reasonably sensible or nonsensical. One. There was a young man of Montrose who had pockets in none of his clothes. When asked by his lass where he carried his brass... Mr. Adams, you take that look off your face. You scare me.
I don't know, but I can't stall on those things.
Sorry.
Wait a minute.
All right, Mr. Kieran, I'm sorry.
Wouldn't it be to do the play
the last line?
He said it was down in his hose.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean, yeah? I don't like it. I don't like it, Mr. Kieran. I don't like it much myself.
Well, then we're agreed at last. It's nice to agree this evening. Once he said, darling, I pay through the nose. I don't think I'll accept yours, Mr. Kieran. It's a nice attempt, though. There was a young fellow named Clyde who was once at a funeral spied. When asked who was dead, he smilingly said, Mr. Adams.
I don't know. I just came for the ride.
Very good. There was an old woman of Thrace whose nose spread all over her face. She had very few kisses. The reason for this is...
I wasn't listening.
You weren't listening, Mr. Levan? The evening isn't over. There wasn't a suitable place. And I'm afraid... $10 is going to be paid out by Canada Dry to Mr. Fitzsimmons. And altogether, we announce a loss of $30. Thank you very much. Now, in a moment, I'll give you the lineup for next week. In the meantime, Mr. Cross has a word or two to say to us.
Now, listen carefully, because I'm going to tell you how you can get your own personal game of information, please. First of all, we assume that you have a generous supply of Canada Dry ginger ale and sparkling water in your home. So the first step toward getting your game will be easy. Simply remove the large labels from two bottles of any of Canada Dry's many beverages. The labels are only glued on two edges, so it's a simple matter to cut off a large piece of these labels so they can be easily identified. Then mail your piece of labels with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York. If you live in Canada, the address is Canada Dry, Toronto, Canada. Your holiday party will be even more of a party with an information-please game containing enough questions for four complete programs. So mail your labels and 10 cents tonight. And by all means, don't forget to give us your own name and address.
Thank you. Now, here's a quartet of experts for next week at the same time. We announce return engagements of John Kieran and Franklin C. Adams. And as our two guests, we have the distinguished professor of philosophy at Columbia University, author of the successful book, Philosopher's Holiday, Dr. Irwin Edmund.
That's a very good book.
It is a good book and a good choice. Thank you, Dr. Phelps, for that endorsement. And we have, fourth and last, the delightful monologist and humorous writer, Cornelia Otis Skinner.
Who wrote another good book.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. We're all working together tonight.
Star
now remember, letters with questions are to be addressed to Information Please, Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York City. All questions become the property of Information Please.
Canada Dry ginger ale, sparkling water, lime Ricky, and Tom Collins mixer come in convenient-sized bottles for every occasion. These superior beverages are delicious and kind to your budget, too. For the largest bottle, the family size costs only 15 cents plus usual bottle deposit. This is Milton Cross saying good night, all.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.